And Tim Cook made the point, well, maybe you should be taxing it U.S. And then he said, okay, if we are, what rate should we tax it at? And he said single digit, all right? And we kind of took that, all right, along with other inputs that we had there. We interpreted single digit to mean 9%. All right, that was still a single digit there. We were going up as high as we could on that and saying that would still be a single digit there. So it's a little bit of background on guilty. Right, some of the proposed changes with respect to guilty, and there's really there's a number of kind of big changes with respect to the guilty regime there. All right, so the Treasury Green Book came out in May of this year. All right. Each presidential administration generally puts out a green book, all right, earlier part of the year. So this one came out in May of this year, and it's the administration's tax proposals for that year. All right. The Trump administration did not put out any green books, so we went 4 years with no green books there. All right. So to get one this year, there was a break in the process there, and so finally we were seeing a green book again. So we saw one this year. Did not see one during the Trump administration. And in the green book there, and which has been picked up in the House bill that was passed on November 19th, is to apply guilty on a country-by-country basis. All right. So that's the, I guess, if you're talking about international tax developments here, that would probably be the big takeaway from this, all right? Changing the guilty regime, all right? So right now, the guilty regime, it's an aggregate, all right? It's an aggregate there, all right? The income of the CFCs, all right? That tested income there, you aggregate it all, right? Tested income, one CFC has that income there, that guilty income there, another one has a loss, you can offset that, all right? So you can aggregate that with respect to all of your CFCs, all right? The proposal would basically apply it on a country-by-country basis there, all right? Rather than an aggregate basis. This was something that was discussed in the run-up to TCJA, whether guilty should be applied on a country-by-country basis or on an aggregate basis, which is what was done. Rejected the country-by-country approach, went with the aggregate approach, and what we kept calling guilty was the one CFC approach. Treat all the CFCs as one. Right? Just treat it all as one there. Right? And so this would be a pretty dramatic change from that, going to country-by-country with respect to guilty there. And you would also go the foreign tax credits on a country-by-country basis there. This is something, talking with a lot of companies out there that would be subject to this. Obviously, some companies saying, look, we basically operate in Mexico. We operate in one country, so we don't really care. All right, it's fine with us. All right? But the ones that are operating in multiple countries, all right, around the world, this is they talk about the compliance burden, having to do this on a country-by-country basis there. And, of course, some adverse tax consequences of having to do it country-by-country, basically eliminating that cross-crediting, which you can do today with the aggregate type of approach, right, and the foreign tax credits on a country-by-country basis. A lot of people are asking me, where is that coming from, that idea there? And I will tell you that in the run-up to TCJA and also today, there is a very seminal paper in the area of international tax that was written in 2013. It was written by the late Harry Grubert of Treasury Department and Roseanne Altshuler, professor at Rutgers. Right? And they co-authored this paper in 2013. And in the paper, that was the predecessor of guilty, what they had developed in that paper there, right? The idea of a minimum tax on foreign earnings there. So they had the idea of guilty, and they talk about applying basically guilty on an overall method, aggregate approach versus a country by country. And in their paper, they said, we believe a country by country would be a better approach. However, you have to weigh that against the complexities of a country by country versus the overall method, which is what, of course, was done in TCJA. So they endorsed an overall method, admitting that guilty, the country by country would probably be better than that, but you had to weigh that against the complexity of a country by country approach there. So that's the big proposals that we're seeing there. The Treasury Green Book had proposed that. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Wyden, Senator Brown, Senator Warren had put out an international tax draft, also kind of in a sense going with a country-by-country approach there with respect to guilty. They were doing it a little bit differently there. We're doing, looking at high-tax versus low-tax countries, all right? They're doing a high-tax versus low-tax basis there. But in us thinking that might be a simpler approach there than going country-by-country. All right, so apply guilty country by country. Reduce qualified business asset investments to 5% in the House bill, unless U.S. territories, then it remains at 10%. It's another big change that would be made to the international tax system. So the idea with respect to guilty was basically your hard assets that are offshore, your tangible, depreciable property offshore, a 10% return on those offshore assets, that would be exempt from U.S. tax. All right, so the 10% return will kind of refer to as your hard assets offshore there. That's exempt from U.S. tax, and that's that residual category of income that I was talking about, that third category there. So Part F, guilty, and then the residual category. Falls within that residual category, not taxed there. Got a lot of criticism when we enacted that. The idea behind guilty as the term, global intangible low-taxed income, was to try and isolate the intangible income. And because the intangible income was viewed as very mobile, that it could be shifted around the world there. And so the idea was to try and tax that intangible income there. And the way to tax it was to say, well, we view anything above a 10% return on the hard assets, we're going to view that as intangible income. All right? It's just the formula that we created there, right? And we'll treat that as intangible income there and go ahead and tax that. All right? And the idea was to tax it at a preferential rate because it is mobile. Right? It's mobile there. Go ahead and tax, focus in on that one and try and tax that there. The House bill would reduce that qualified business asset investment return that would be exempt from the U.S. tax from 10% of your hard assets to only 5% of your hard assets, unless you're dealing with U.S. territories, and they would keep it at 10%. Right. And that's also, you can view that return on your hard assets as exempt from U.S. tax there as also evidence of a territorial type of system, which is something that was very much looked at as part of TCJA. So the Biden administration and the Wyden-Brown-Warren, kind of their international tax draft, they would repeal the QBI. They would repeal that 10% of QBI, make it zero, right? You just don't have that anymore, right? But the House decides to keep it at 5%, 10% for U.S. territories here. They reduce the deduction for guilty, all right? So currently you have a 50% deduction for guilty, 21% corporate tax rate, right? 50% deduction of that. So effectively your guilty tax rate is 10.5. Right, it's 10.5 there, and get a lot of questions. Well, how'd you end up with 10.5 there? Originally, the corporate tax rate as part of TCJ was going to be set at 20%.